the year of good news. And we start with John 1, verses 1 through 5. And stand as we read today's scripture. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, the Word, all things were made. Without Him, the Word, nothing has been made that has been was made that has been made. In Him, the Word, was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Father God, we just pray that you bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Like I said, this is the beginning of a new series. And throughout this whole year, we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John in the context of good news. I tell you, I look around me and there's a lot of folks that need good news. If you try watching any of the news channels, you're not going to get a whole lot. Our politicians are in a brutal, brutal power fight. And that's not good news. You see the crime across the country. That's not good news. The amount of drugs, the amount of human trafficking. You realize the problem that is happening in the world, and especially here with human trafficking. There's just horrific stories. A lot of the South American countries, things we don't realize, a lot of the South American countries have street kids. These are kids who do not have parents. They live on the streets. Joanne and I, we went to Guatemala, and I spent some time in Brazil. In both of these countries, there's garbage dumps, and there's packs of underage kids who live in these garbage dumps. These kids, when people take their garbage out and they dump it, they sort through it for anything that they can eat, anything they can repurpose, and they live as gangs of underage kids. In most of these countries, I've seen it. When I was on the Indian reservation a few summers ago, there's a garbage dump there, and there's kids that were Native American kids who don't have parents living in that garbage dump. Here in America, they would throw stuff out. The ministry that I was with, they would throw stuff out. And the kids would come out of their hiding places, and they would sort through it for things that they can use, food they can eat, things they can use for shelter. It's a big problem across the world. And one of the things is that many of these kids, especially in South America, are being used by people to come to America, where they just take the kid and they force them to go on these journeys with them. And they tell every country along the line, this is my child. This is my child. And it's not. These are kidnapped street kids from South America. Because if you have a child, there's a loophole to get into America. All you got to do is get across the border with a kid. That's all you have to do. And claim that they're your kid. You don't have to have any paperwork. You get across the border. And by law, you can only hold children for 20 days. That's it. And you have to release them, and you got to release them with somebody. And they release the people claiming to be their parents. They're using these street kids to become here, to come here, to get their foot in the door. And then what happens is they'll say, okay, there's a court date. Come back on this date, and we'll hear your asylum claim. And they never come back. It's huge. Human trafficking, where you're using these kids. Because a lot of times, if they do separate them from these people claiming to be the parents never come and claim them. And we have thousands upon thousands of kids that nobody knows who their parents are, that are just showing up at our borders. It's also a problem with women, where a lot of these women immigrants, when they come here, they end up in prostitution and in the drug trade here in America because they're uneducated and a male owns them. It's a big problem. And then you go into other countries, the human trafficking is horrible. Why? We as humanity, many people, we've lost the sanctity of human life. But you don't use kids this way. You don't use women this way. A lot of young kids are used as drug mules, where they strap backpacks on them and they send them across the border with heroin and marijuana in their backpack. And if they're caught, they get a slap on the wrist because they're underage. And a lot of sometimes they'll try to hook them up with a parent. But again, many of these drug mules that are bringing drugs into our country, they're underage, and many of them don't have parents. Somebody owns them. They're using them as a slave to bring drugs into the country. The value of human life is at an all-time low. There's many Christian women who are bought and sold in like Somalia as property because the predominant religion doesn't like their beliefs. So they many times will kill the husband and they will take the woman and buy her and sell her as a slave. Do you realize that slavery is at an all-time high in the world right now? It's a big problem. So many Christians aren't aware of it. It's so easy in Indiana to live in our Indiana bubble. There's such a good Christian background here and a good value of life. It's hard to realize that just not too far from here, that people are being bought and sold like cattle. Children are abused. There was a case recently of a man who had this young girl with him, and he was claiming she was his daughter in order to get this 20-day free pass into the country once they got across the border. And they did tests on her and realized that the entire route that of them leaving their home country to here, he had been continually raping her. She was a street kid he picked up as a free pass into our country. It's horrible. May God have mercy on us and help us as Christians to get back to the value, the sanctity of human life, which is good news for the world. And it starts with this passage, our understanding of where life came from and the value of human life. See, as Christians, we believe that there is a God, that in the beginning, God created. Genesis 1:1, we as Christians believe that there was a beginning to everything. And the initiator of the beginning is God. In the beginning, God. If you've ever wondered, Pastor, where does God come from? You have to understand that God is uncreated. He doesn't come from anything because there's a reality beyond what you and I consider reality. And that reality is God. God is even more real than us. We are created beings. We have a beginning point. At our conception, human life begins. We began there. He doesn't have that beginning. He always was and always is because he's beyond anything that you and I know is reality. Time. Time is a sequence of events. That's all time is. It's think this happened. It's time. Before the first event, there was God. Matter is anything material that you can see, feel, or touch. Before the very first matter was made, there was God. And space is the distance between two or more points. Before there were two points, there was God. Amen? And so as Christians, we have this worldview that God is uncreated and that we are created, and that makes a gulf. That makes a gulf between the creation and the creator, because he's not made of anything that you and I can get our hands around. He's uncreated. He doesn't have a beginning point. He doesn't have an end point. He doesn't cast a reflection like we do. He is uncreated. And it has made a goal for us as humans. Now, Jesus Christ is introduced in this passage as the Word of God. In a nutshell, a definite working definition of what a word is: a word is a thought organized. A word is a thought organized for the purpose of communication. A word is the bridge between people to communicate things. You need to put it into a word. The thought that you want to communicate: I want to get something across to my brother's mind. I can't just go, woo. I need to take that thought, I need to organize it, and I need to voice it to him, to communicate to him. That's what a word is. A word is a thought, some type of thought. So I think of this. I'm thinking of this in my head. In order for me to communicate to you what it is, I need to put it into a word. This is called a Bible. That's my word to communicate what this is. So the thought of, I wanted to tell you what this book is because it's not labeled. You can't read it, but even that would be a word. You can't read it. Now you can see it, and many of you assume that it's a Bible, but honestly, I could have snuck a cookbook in here and you wouldn't know it. But I can tell you, this is a Bible. A word is a thought organized for the purpose of communication. It's that bridge between the uncreated and the creation. Who is that bridge? That bridge is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the bridge between an uncreated God and creation. He is the Word of God. If you want to know who the uncreated God is, you discover the Word. Because he is God organized in a way that you and I can get him. Radical. Many Christians will roll their eyes at this because many have not been taught this. He is God organized in such a way that you and I can get who God is. Look at some of the characteristics from this text. It says, here's some of the details of this important text. The Word of God pre-existed creation. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. In what beginning? In the beginning. Before time began, before matter began, before space began, there was the Word. It's a personality of the Godhead that is organized in such a way that we can get. We can never get the Father without him. It's impossible. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, many religions have popped up, but they're all from a human perspective. There's some religions that believe that the world rides on the back of a turtle. There's some religions that believe that gods were fighting and they threw spears at each other and missed and they hit the water and out popped islands and continents. There's some weird views of creation and where everything came from. One of the secular viewpoints is that everything evolved by itself. It just many years of accidents, and some things got right and the things that got right made more right. And it just evolved into this. I tell you, if you can ever look at it from a logical viewpoint, that is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The fact that time, matter, and space just created itself by accident. I tell you, that doesn't fit anything I know to be true. If I point to this and say, what is this? you would communicate back to me. It's a music microphone. It's a microphone. Well, did it just happen by itself? And you would say, that's ridiculous. It's obvious. It was made. It's got order. It's got purpose. It's got it's got organization. You can see the little extender there. You can see that this pops off and that you can use it as a microphone. It's obvious that it has a purpose, and that makes it where obviously someone made it. How ridiculous is it to think that time, matter, and space, as intricate as it is, happened by itself? That's ridiculous. To me, what makes more sense is that there's an uncreated God who, one of the personalities of this uncreated God, is linear, sequential, like me, similar to me, that bridges this and created all this. Look at this. He pre-existed creation. The next thing is, the Word of God existed face to face with God. Verse 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Another is this whole thing. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 2. That word with God means face to face. Literally, with God. He was face to face with God. I would love to illustrate this sometimes by getting one of those stretchy sheets here and to have me go like this into the sheet so that you can see my image in that, where you can push into it like elastic and you go like this so that you can see my image in the sheet. The thing with God is that this image in time, matter, and space turned around. It's face to face with the Father. That's what it means. In the beginning was the organized personality of God. He was with God. And next, he is God. The Word of God is God in linear, sequential, like you and me. He's God with us. He is God organized so that we can get God. Otherwise, there's always going to be this gulf. There's always going to be this barrier that you can never get to God because our senses can't do it, because we can't take pictures of Him. Our mind can't get around Him, because He'll never walk among us as Christ did. Amen? So again, the Word existed face to face with God. The next, the Word shares the same basic essence with God. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was face to face with God, was with God, and the Word was God. The theological term is essence. The essence is the same. It's called the God goo, the God stuff. They're made of the same stuff. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have the same essence. I would love to illustrate this, and I've done this before, where I take water and I take aluminum foil, and I might still do this some along this series. I take the aluminum foil and to form it in a shape of a little like snowman or a little gingerbread man, and to pour the water into this mold and freeze it, and to hold that man made out of ice, frozen water, up, and to say that the water in this pan has the same essence as this little snowman I made. They share the same goo, the same essence. The Son shares the same essence with the Father, but He's organized in such a way that provides a bridge between the Father and creation. Does that make sense? I'm really trying my best because so many Christians have not been taught this. We've been taught, we believe in the Trinity. You know, it's rote. I believe in the Trinity. I believe in one God, three distinct persons. We've even taught that. But I see it as making so much sense that they share the same essence, but they're not the same. The Father and the Son are not the same. They share the same essence. One is the liquid water, so to speak, and one is the frozen water. And if you want to go to the other kind of extreme, don't tear it apart too much, but steam would be the Holy Spirit. They share the same essence, but they're different. Steam is not the same as a frozen man that you can touch, that you can see, that you can hold up. Steam is invisible gas. It's not the same. And liquid water, it's not the same, but it's the same essence with all three. Does that make sense? Amen? So again, they share the same essence with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, but they share the essence. They're distinct, they're different, but it's one God being revealed to us. Now, all things were created through Him. He created all things. Who created the heavens and the earth? God created. But look at this. Through the Word, all things were made. Nothing that was made has been made except through Him. To me, it makes sense that the organized God, when He stretched out that sheet and became an image, able to turn around and be face to face with the Father, that He would have been the initiator on all that we know. Because all that we know is like that Word. It's organized. You and I are organized beyond even what any scientist can imagine. The more they dig into our DNA, the more perplexed they get. You and I are like computer programs with tens of trillions of code that makes your uniqueness of how you look and how you act and how you talk and how you live. It's made of a code. You are like a computerized program. You are so intricate. And everything around us is so. If you were to take one atom, and you split it, there is so much power in there that it would blow us all up. It's what the atomic bomb is made of. When you split it, there is so much power. Why? Because it's made of things that are going so fast, even though it's so small. The power that's there, where did it came from? It came from God, the personality that is organized like a Word, who did the creating. It's not accidental. Everything is so purposeful that if you take one little strand of your DNA and you alter it, you alter the entire person. There's something different there. And that's where they're doing a lot of experiments with diseases, to cure diseases by changing, fixing some of our broken code in our body. They can do that. It's incredible. And it's terrifying. What kind of perfect human are they going to come up with? And what's going to happen to the rest of us imperfect ones? Again, it's them playing God, because the only one that is authorized to do that is God the Son. Through Him, all things were made. He is Creator. Wow. Next, He's the source of life. Verse 4. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Everything that you know of, that the difference between live and dead, came from Him. He is the source of anything that you and I consider life. anything that has breath in it, anything that grows, anything that needs to eat, anything that needs to expel whatever. If it's a plant, they're expelling oxygen. If they're air. If they're like us, if they're an animal, they expel carbon dioxide. It's beautiful the way the plants and the animals, the creatures like us, we need each other. I need plants on the earth. They need me on the earth to be able to breathe. All of that came from the Word of God. Life began with Him. The Bible puts it this way. He is the image of the invisible God. Also, He is what we were created according to. You and I were created in the image of God. He is the prototype of what we were created to be. When He became linear, when the first line was drawn and He entered into creation, the Bible refers to that as His begottenness. He is eternally begotten from the Father. But at the first point of time, matter, and space, He began creation. All things were made through Him. He is the Creator. He is the source of life. In Him was life. And then it goes on to say, and that life was the light of men. In other words, what makes us unique? He is the source of our uniqueness. What makes us different than a dog or a cat? Think about it. Physically, our opposable thumbs. Our opposable thumbs set us apart. We can do this, and that means we can create things that no other animal on the planet can do. Now, chimpanzees have thumbs, but they're not opposable. They're like this. And they can pick up a stick, but it's like this. They can't do this. Chimpanzees can't do this. Chimpanzees cannot thread a needle. I can. My uniqueness came from the Son of God. The begotten, eternally begotten Son of God has the ability to create uniquely. He passed that on to us, being created in His image. What makes us different with our mind? We have the ability for language. In scientific terms, it's our language acquisition device that humans have that no other animal on the planet has. Our ability to formulate language is so complex and so brilliant. Where did we get that from? We got that from Him. He is the source of our uniqueness. The Son of God is unique. Ability to create, ability to communicate, ability to express emotions. That's something else that we hold over any species on the planet. Some animals, they can feel some types of emotions, but nothing like the range that we can. Our uniqueness, our life, came from Him who is the source. And because we have that, we stand head and shoulders above anything else on the planet. Because nothing else was said to be created in the image of God. Amen? I love this. Who owns all the world records? What's the fastest land animal on the planet? Cheetah? Really? I say this to my shame. I've gone 100 miles an hour. No cheetah's done that. They top out at 70. Because of my ability to create, because of my ability to stand out, I have a car. What animal's flown the highest? Tell me, what animal's flown the highest? Show me an animal that has a rover on Mars. Humanity has a rover, this little dune buggy, rolling around on Mars taking pictures. Show me any animal that can do that. Well, who can go the fastest in the water? You know, porpoises are fast. Do you know what a nuclear-powered submarine can do? Let's see a dolphin top that. There's things that we can do. We've broken the sound barrier. I believe someday we may break the light barrier. Who knows? The sky's a limit because we, our source of life, comes from the Son of God. The sky's the limit on what we're able to do. On the flip side, there's really no limit to our depravity either. No animal has destroyed more. No animal has polluted more. No animal has caused so much death than us. You think of all the world wars we've had. You think of all the gang violence and the gun crimes and the rapes and murders. There's a problem, right? In Him is our life. All of our good stuff comes from Him. But we are so unique. We own the world records in about every category you can come up with. There's no animal, there's no creature on the planet like us, because we have our source of life in the Son of God. He is the source of our uniqueness. And finally, He is the vehicle that God uses to reveal truth to us. It's light. The definition for light, when the Bible refers to it, it's not this necessarily, although this represents light. True spiritual light is revealed truth from God. This reveals things in darkness. It brings things to light. Our physical lights do. The light that comes from Him is revealed truth that we could never get ourselves. When the disciples said, "Show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us," He says, what? "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He is the light that shines in the darkness to show us God. In Him was life, and that life is the light of mankind. Our revealed truth of what we know of comes from Him. He has revealed things to humanity. He is the source of truth. Now, this very powerful passage has got to transform our worldview. It's got to. You are not an accident. You are not an accident. You are not a cosmic accident of happenstance. You were created uniquely. There's only one of you. Even if you have a twin brother and sister, it's still not identical to you. There's differences. So many times the personalities will be polar opposite in twins. One will excel in this and one will excel in that. And eventually one likes long hair, one likes short hair. Even identical twins are unique. You are uniquely fashioned by God the Son. All things were made through Him. And there's another passage in Colossians that all things were made by Him, for Him. He holds all things together. He is the CEO of time, matter, and space. Who is at the control room, keeping things going? It's the Son of God. He sustains all things. So when we pull this together, how can this transform us? It should. First thing is to realize that you are not an accident. The next is, the next thing that you and I, knowing this, being revealed this to us, that we should realize that there's a reality beyond your senses. There is a spiritual war going on of the enemies of God and God. There is a war going on. True victory lies and getting connected to God through Jesus Christ. You have to get there by who made you. You have to get there by who gave you your uniqueness. You have to get there one way. You're going to be force-fed from the day one in America that there's many paths to God. I tell you, none of them make sense compared to this. To me, this makes more sense than any world religion, and I've studied most of them. It seems like people are inventing new ones all the time, which in essence are really not that new, but they're a twist on old. They're inventing new ways to view religion and humanity. I want to tell you, none makes more sense than this, that there's an uncreated God who created all things, and the personality of this God who is like us is Jesus Christ. It makes so much sense to me. There's a reality beyond our senses. There's a spiritual war going on in many of your minds right now to pay attention and to get this. There's a spiritual war going on. You may be thinking about what you want to eat for lunch. You may be thinking about what somebody did against you. You may be thinking that, oh, I'm so tired I could take a nap. That preacher's boring. Spiritual war going on in each of us to distract us from receiving this light, to transform our worldview, and to realize how important and sacred you are. And your choices matter. It's a war going on. Since we are not accidents, but purposely created, we are held to a high standard. This is going to make some angry in Christianity. Some of the environment claims for environmentalists are right. Humans, we will be held accountable for how we treated the earth. You know, most gas stations, when you go, or serving stations that have changed oil and fluid changes, so many of them have just dumped it on the ground because it's easier to do that than it is to properly dispose of it. So many of us have just thrown it in the trash, knowing it's going to end up in a landfill and get in our water system eventually. Because again, it's like, that environmental stuff is for the wackos. No. Humanity will be held accountable for how we treated everything. Because we were put in charge of creation. We were created to manage creation. You have God the Son, who is the CEO of time, matter, and space. The CEO of the planet Earth is us. Adam was king of the planet. He was king. The only problem is that he was given to it as a sinless person. And when he became a sinner, his kingdom fell into forfeiture, where there really wasn't an heir. There really wasn't any of his sons or daughters or anybody that could lay claim to what he was given in a sinless, perfect state. Until 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, nearly, there was a human born. A descendant of Adam. A male, firstborn, sinless. Do you know who holds the deed now? Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we will all appear before him to give account for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. We will all stand before his judgment seat. He is king. He inherited from Adam. He is the Son of Man, the Son of Adam, who can lay claim to creation. We have a king. Ha! And he owns everything. He bought it. He bought it with his blood, with his sinless perfection. We will be held accountable, and we are held to a high standard. And likely, back to the beginning, human life is sacred. Human life is sacred. Now, this has got to go all the way across the board. Christians, we can't just stop at pro-life issues. It's got to go beyond. And that's a criticism that's been made against me and other Christians. It's like, yeah, you want to stop abortion, but are you willing to take care of that baby if they choose to give birth to it? Well, there's so many Christian groups that do. Hallelujah. We need to continue to get behind them. An illegal immigrant is created in the image of God too. Rattle some cages. These Somali women that are sold into slavery are created in the image of God. See, being pro-life isn't just against something. We need to be for things too. And we need to be protectors of human life because we're all sacred and created in the image of God. Amen? So many Christians are so willing to go over to other countries who have other religions or other viewpoints than us and blow them off the planet. Nuke them till they glow. You know, that's not a pro-life stance. Yeah, there's time for war. You know, America has so much blood in its hands. We've killed so many, and we realize the enemies we've racked up because of it. There needs to be a balance where we're protectors of life and we can see beyond differences. That doesn't mean there's not time for war, but man, there has to be a point when Christians stand up and say, human life is sacred, even if I don't like them. Human life is sacred, even if I disagree with them. Now, there needs to be a policeman in the world. There needs to be somebody standing up and say, this is right, this is wrong. And what happens when they disagree on your right and wrong? That usually ends with war. There's time for war. The Bible's clear. There's times when you have to stand up to the person that wants to destroy what God wants to do and to oppose them. And that might mean them dying. But it has to be done through the channels that God has initiated. And the sword, according to the book of Romans, is in the government's hand, not in mine. I do not have any authority to take human life, period. The government has that. They will be held accountable for how they use it. We as Christians living in a democratic republic, we have so much say-so to speak into what happens. God uses it in a positive way. Your votes count. Your participation counts. Amen? You're protecting life, feeding, clothing, helping, loving. It's what the church is about. And we're going to close with a song called We Believe. And it's going to be one of our theme songs for this whole series. And so again, as we sing it, make it a declaration to change any worldviews that you have adopted because of living in this culture and to allow the truth of God's word to penetrate every aspect of your life. Because here's something very important to close in. You're sacred too. You're created in the image of God. You need to be taking care of yourself. You need to be caring for yourself. There's so much power here. And we're going to sing this creed as we celebrate this and close the service. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. I pray, Lord, if I've made any mistakes trying to do a difficult topic such as the Trinity, forgive me. Help your Holy Spirit to just bring the truth out and to help me to get it and to help us all to transform the way that we think and act towards creation, towards you, towards others, and towards ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name.